in our lives. Amen. Well, the title of the word will be, What is Truth? Does anybody have an answer for that? It'd really help with the word this morning if you had an answer for that. Oh boy, I'm in trouble now. It's very much a part of our spiritual makeup and our human makeup to pursue truth. Our minds are very much geared that way. I mean, this is what science is all about. The human mind wants to find out how things work, what's true. The science, if you want to call it that, of psychology, studying human nature, it's all about finding the truth. What makes us human? What makes us healthy? What's honest about our life experiences? So it's in our makeup to desire to know. And in the human mind, there's a definite limitation because the human mind seeks for what is true. Our spirit seeks for who is true. And that's the Lord Jesus. We need both of them put together for it to be complete. Who is true? Who is the truth? Jesus spoke of himself saying, I am the truth, the way, and the life. He was the embodiment of truth. Grace and truth in John 1, it says, were realized through Jesus Christ. And I think in our spiritual journey, it's not a put down to our intellect or our mental capacity to want to know how things work and to expand and to grow. But in this generation now, there is such a deep need for the human spirit where the Lord resides to come forth in a greater way than even our own minds. And that inner yearning and that inner drive to know him who is true needs to supersede even our mental quest for truths. Now, in the human mind, I think we need to understand that even though we can be very rational, intelligent, intellectual, pride ourselves on how logical we are, the human mind can understand, but it's very quick also to misunderstand. There's definite limitations. And I don't care how much you pride yourself on how clearly you think, your thought processes are affected by your emotions, by your fears, by how you've been wounded in life. And that's where the misunderstandings come. We can organize a lot of facts in our mind and still miss the truth because our thoughts will tend to distort according to how we've been hurt. We can look at things and think we have a true picture because this is a truth, and we put it together and we say, then that this must be true. Yet often, what we put together is not the truth because there's other things coming through that we're not recognizing. The basis of knowing the truth is not a mental pursuit, but it's a spiritual walk in knowing him, our Lord Jesus Christ. We were created spirit, soul, and body, and what was lost in the garden, where the spirit became buried, in Christ, that same spirit becomes dominant. And it's through our spirit that our mind is to be renewed and find its proper place. But the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our spirit has to be first and have first place within us. I want to talk about some of the misunderstandings that we have mentally. And my hope and what I'm feeling in my spirit this morning is all this does is drive us to know him. We experience such great mental battles, and we try to figure out life through our mind. Yet so much of what we need to do is just be on our knees and on our faces before him, allowing a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Lord, that knowing of him. We can understand the scriptures, understand the truths in the scriptures. Yet without our spirit pursuing the Lord, we can totally misunderstand God's intent toward us through the scriptures. Now you see how this, on our mind, we have a level of understanding and misunderstanding. There's a tension between the two. Paul in the book of Galatians addressed them, and his words to him were, he was upset. He said, what's wrong with you guys? Who's bewitched you? Why are you following another gospel? That's how he put it in Galatians 1. What other gospel? Now, you remember in those times, the New Testament we read about was being lived and written in letters. But what they had were the words of the prophets. It's not that the Galatians had switched to another book. They were reading probably true words from the prophets of God of the Old Testament. Yet they were hearing another gospel, because they were not hearing God's intent toward them. This has to do with freedom or the law. Paul was talking in the book of Galatians very specifically how, thank you, Cheryl, they were coming back under the law again, under the Judaic law. He called it another gospel. He says, who's bewitched you? Who's moving you away from the grace of God? Who's moving you away from the truth of who Jesus Christ is? Same scriptures. But in one, you hear God's intent toward you. You hear the truth. In the other, the facts are true. You read what the prophets said, but you're hearing something completely different. And that's the struggle we have in our mind, isn't it? Just like the Galatians had. When we hear the scriptures, what is God's intent toward us through the scriptures? What is he conveying? Is he conveying a law? Is he conveying a standard saying, you've got to do these certain things, and if you do them, then maybe I'll be happy with you? Or is he conveying his love and acceptance of us and his grace toward us? That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for us, so that we could know this God who so loved the world loves us. So hearing the intent of how God really feels about you and what he's trying to speak to you doesn't come through the mind in trying to analyze the Bible. It comes from the source in knowing the Lord. It's that relationship with him, that you realize that God is love and he wants me to know that I am loved by him. The Galatians got off track. In their mind, they began to follow the Judaic law again. Paul was incensed. Why? Because they lost contact with who the Lord was. They weren't hearing God's love for him. So in our pursuit, don't we all want a knowledge of the Word of God? We want to know what the Scriptures mean? It comes from knowing him. You know, Bible college or Bible school is a good thing. Anything that promotes the knowledge of the Bible is a good thing. I love it. But it's not enough. We have to hear from the source. In knowing him, we know God's intent toward us as we read the Word of God. Now, also, there's a great deal of misunderstanding that comes as far as who we are as human beings, the purpose of being human. Have you ever wondered that? You read the Bible, and here's this perfect God and this perfect way of living, and then there's us with all our faults and failings, and no matter how noble our efforts and attempts, we're all painfully aware of our sins and our human nature and our shortcomings. Well, again, in the mind, there's that struggle. The mind can understand that God is perfect. What the mind cannot understand is why we aren't in our own human condition. And there's a struggle between condemnation and surrender. Because you read in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, Paul talks about our life under the law. What did he say? Let me read it so you know what he says. Galatians 3:23. Let me just read. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Now, this is really important if we're to look at our humanity the way that God does. All condemnation comes because we're still under the law and evaluating who we are by the perfect law that God gave. And the only conclusion you can ever draw from that is that you've fallen short. And that was the whole point of the law, to reveal to us that we can't do it, that we've all fallen short of the glory of God, that we've all sinned. But the law was a teacher. To bring us to what? Christ, to know him who is the truth. And once we know that instead of condemnation, there's a surrender of our humanity. There's a surrender of our being human to him. We realize that we're not condemned for being human, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This human form that we have is not a problem to God. It's only a problem to us when we're under law and we're focused on condemning ourselves. But this is the mental struggle, trying to find truth. Well, what is this about me being human? How does it fit into God's will? How can I do God's will when I have all these problems? From your spirit is the answer. All that the law brought you to a point where you could let go of your humanity. All the condemnation that you felt in the past, when you came to Christ, he paid the price for it. It's over. So what do we say about being human? We're not old, we're a new creature. Because of what the Lord has done, we're new creatures before him. And we can just surrender our being human before his mighty, awesome presence. So instead of condemnation, what do you have? The sense of surrender and acceptance before him. And I'm going to read this from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. I love this verse. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from ourselves. Isn't that beautiful? The human experience, when we allow ourselves to come to know Christ, what do we conclude? Just that. We have this treasure, the Lord, in this earthen vessel, these jars of clay. And the focus is not on the jars of clay. But God does it this way. Why? So that we know where the glory belongs. It's with him. This all-surpassing power is from God, not from our human striving, our human ambition. What a beautiful thing. Do you want to somehow get out of this struggle within yourself? Paul talked about it in Romans 7, the things I want to do, I can't do. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. What was his conclusion? Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. There is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ. The struggle ends in him. It doesn't end in our mind. We don't reason ourselves out of this struggle. We come to know him who is the truth. And then we see our humanity the way that God sees it. The last point with this is with relationships. And I'll tell you, this is a sticky one. We have so many problems in relating. And again, it stems from not knowing him in our spirit. With our minds, we try to analyze relationships. We try to fix relationships. We struggle. Do better, do worse, and just, it's very difficult. Human relationships are hard. We can have the facts about another human being, and they can be true facts, yet we don't know the truth of who they are. This hinders so many relationships, doesn't it? Well, you're this way, you're that way, and you're that way, and that needs to change. All those facts can be true. All those criticisms can be true. But what is the truth of who that person is on a heart level? We can be blind to that because that comes from the Lord. That comes from our heart, the Spirit. God looks at that same person and says, yep, you got the facts right there. Just the wrong conclusion. He sees who that person really is. In relationships, we tend to project our own life experiences, what's hurt us, where we've been wounded, and we project it on others. Again, blindness, where we can't see who that person really is. And we don't have time to get into all this, and this would be, a lot of it deals in the realm of psychology, but it just deals in real life, the struggles we have in being one with one another. And one of the big dilemmas with this is on a human level, on a mental level, no matter how hard we try to be one, I really believe that oneness is a gift from God. And I believe it's meant to come out of the truth of who Jesus Christ is. It's not about changing personalities, changing our human nature. It's about a greater reality that's in all of us that will make us one. In the midst of all our differences and failings and shortcomings, we still have oneness because of Him. On a mental level, we struggle, and I like to say the tension here is between give and take. One of the big problems we have in relating is when we're locked in our own thinking, we're also tied into kind of that selfish pull from our ego. We want to be in relationships because we want to see what we can get out from other people. It's a taking. You look at another human being and you realize all the needs you have and you say, how can that person meet my needs? Yet when we're spirit directed and it comes out of knowing the Lord, our focus is completely different. We look at the same people and say, how can I give to you to bless you? I don't know how many marital conflicts would be resolved if the focus was switched. What's most conflict over? My needs are not getting met. You're acting in a way that doesn't benefit me. My ego's offended here. And it goes on and on. But when Christ is in charge and comes out of a knowing of Him, the focus and our thoughts are, I'm here to bless that person. I'm here to bless my wife. I'm here to bless my husband. Instead of being selfish, it's an unselfish giving. And what does that create? Oneness. It doesn't change human nature necessarily, but it gives us a different and a deeper basis of relationship that can't be broken by human faults, human differences. Philippians 2 talks about that. I'll read it. Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. And what was his attitude toward us? He emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, going to the cross, dying for us. So you see, in our mind, we pursue the truth about other people. And we try to relate to them and try to fix things. But in our spirit, we understand the basic flaw in relationships is we're selfish and we're takers and we're concerned about our own interests. And that's corrected in the Lord. When we know Him as truth, then we look at other people differently. And we're looking to how we can bless and give. One more scripture on that, Galatians chapter 5. Verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. Again, how are we called to relate to one another? This is all relationships. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, husband and wives, parents and children, friends. We're called to serve one another in love. And we're warned about biting and devouring one another. But if all we do is live within our own human thinking, that's what ends up happening. We bite and devour because we are selfish by nature. And we're offended when our needs are not met or our expectations are not met by another human being. But who is the one that went to the cross and emptied himself for us? Jesus. And when we know him as the truth, what happens? That same life force, that same giving of ourselves comes forth through our life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus will do the same thing in you he did 2,000 years ago. When you allow him as the truth to come forth, you're going to be emptying yourself for the sake of others. And what does that do? That creates John 17, the oneness that the Lord promised. The whole world is trying to figure out how to get along. great minds are spending a lot of time in think tanks trying to figure out how to end the wars and the dilemmas we face. Jesus Christ promised oneness. It's not going to come through human effort. It's going to come through His Spirit, His giving coming through His people. Because once we're one, we're not going to try to change one another. We're not going to say, well, this one has to think like me. All the things that cause prejudice and division and hatred won't be there. Because human differences won't make a difference. When you're one with another heart, you're fully accepting of who that person is. He is the truth that brings this about. Are you in relationships now that need healing? If you're alive on this planet in a relationship with another human being, probably the answer is yes to that. What's the answer? Well, there could be many answers, but the most important one, as far as I'm concerned, is know Him who is the truth. His nature flowing through you, every relationship will be healed. How can it not be when there's that emptying out of ourselves and that love flowing through? That is the healer. Our human mind is in a lot of conflict. And it needs to be renewed. The promise in the scriptures is what? That the spirit of our mind will be renewed, that we have the mind of Christ. But again, this comes from the source, the Lord. We think, well, the mind of Christ, I'll just study everything He said and fill my mind with it. Well, it says the spirit of your mind renewed. Your head can be filled with good doctrine, but if you're still selfish by nature, the doctrine don't work. Spirit of the mind means it's Him, the Lord Himself, that we experience. And in knowing Him, our motivation changes, our focus changes. Then we are able to think differently, the way God thinks about things. Hosea 6:3 says, "Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn." This is the picture I have for God's people today. In the midst of so many distractions, things trying to pull us a million different directions, the world is crying out for help, and we're all anxious about the answers that have to come. You know in your heart that the Lordship of Jesus Christ, His kingdom, is the answer. Yet we're frustrated as human beings of what to do about it. So religion organizes. They get programs. Let's get a lot of people together. Let's do this. Let's do that. It still doesn't answer what the world is crying out for. All of creation is crying out for what? Jesus Christ coming forth in the earth and His people. And instead of all the anxiety, what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do is just press on to know Him. Then it says His appearing is as sure as the dawn. What happens when our focus is on knowing Him as our truth? What is the dawn? You have to pray for it to come up every day? No. In fact, I pray a lot of times to delay it because that means I have to get up for work and I'm too tired. No, it automatically comes up. When we seek Him, automatically that dawn, that light, that revelation comes forth and renews our mind. We don't have to worry about it. One more thing I want to say before closing, and this has to do with the works. When we're knowing Him as our truth, we understand how the living works come forth. You remember Naaman when he had leprosy? He was told to go wash in the Jordan, and it was a dirty river, and here's this man of significance, lots of pride, saying there's better rivers that I could wash in. Why do you point me to a dirty one? The servant says, you know, he'd asked you a hard thing, you would have done it. Just do what he says. And the whole point was, it wasn't the Jordan River or any river that would cure Naaman's leprosy. He was analyzing with his mind the process of healing and saying, I'm offended by this. The healing came because of who spoke it. God spoke through Elisha. Knowing Him, we recognize that that's where all the living works come from. It's not trying to figure out how to be a ministry and do these works. Again, that our mind gets wrapped up in that battle. It's just knowing the source, listening to him. The first miracle Jesus did, Cana, the wedding feast, you remember? How was that? What kind of process was that? That would boggle the mind. Pour water into the pots and then take it to the people there and it's going to turn into wine, right? That's a little bit scary, isn't it? When you have important people that are expecting good wine, you don't want to give them water. What was it all about? There was nothing magical about the pots they put it in. There was no magic formula here. The water turned into wine because of the source who spoke it. When Mary said, just do what he tells you to do. If he says it, it's going to be alive. It's going to happen. And in this hour that we live in, the greater works the Holy Spirit is bringing forth, we don't have to have a lot of religious striving to try to make them happen. They happen because Jesus Christ speaks them to happen. So we just need to hear God's voice. We need to know him as our truth, as the source. Then these truths, the living works that are meant to be revealed in this hour, flow from that. So much of our struggle as religious people, as human beings, striving for the truth, is that we don't know him well enough, who is the truth. And I feel God is speaking to us to kind of let that burden aside of trying so hard. And whenever you're trying so hard, Satan is very close by with the accusations. You're not trying hard enough. You're not doing it the right way. What's wrong with you? Things should be working by now. I mean, there's 1,000 of them. But maybe God is speaking to us to lay down that burden and just pursue him. We want to know truth. Jesus is saying, I am the truth. Remember he confronted the Pharisees? What did he say? You search the scriptures, for in them you think you find life. Pharisees knew the verses. They knew what the prophet said. He says, but they all testify about me. Truth is the person of who the Lord is. And it's that relationship with him that renews our minds and allows us to really understand and, more importantly, experience and realize the truth in the way we live in our lives. Let us press on to know the Lord. The whole world is seeking for truth right now, but the whole world isn't seeking for the one who is true. And I believe the Holy Spirit is bringing forth that call, like a trumpet call, for those that have ears to hear. In the midst of all the chaos, we will be like Mary, seated at his feet, listening to his word, absorbing who he is. Let's stand. You wonder how someone like Paul could undergo such a transformation in his thinking. Think about the Pharisee of Pharisees. He thought one way. He was rigid in his thinking. He was just totally focused one direction, and God changed his mind so dramatically. Someone that was so under law became the apostle that revealed the grace of God to people. How did it happen? Well, he didn't go to another seminary and get retrained or reconditioned. Here's how it happened. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. What happened was he met Jesus. The person who was the truth was revealed to him. Then Paul had the truth, his mind renewed to what the truth was to speak to the other people. He was able to reveal the grace of God to open hearts. Lord, bless us this morning. We've known this from the beginning, but how easy it is to forget what this is all about. It's not about religion. It's not about what we do. It's about you. And the primary focus you've put within our hearts from day one was to pursue you, to know you. you become our truth. This day, Lord, we allow you to remove whatever's covered over that pure desire we have for you to know you. The distractions, the weights, the burdens of life that come that just clog our well. Remove the rocks, Lord. Let us be in tune and connected with that heart drive and cry to know you fully. In Jesus' name, amen. Could we sing something together?